morning and welcome to a Tuesday morning that's bringing up quite a mixed bag. If you're waking up in Saskatoon this morning, you look outside, it's sunny, it looks like it's going to be a nice day. If you're waking up in Esterhazy, Indian Head, Regina, Bigger, those are just a few of the places where we've heard from listeners this morning, snow falls, snow covers the ground. I welcome your text, by the way, at 1-877-332-8255. If you've been out on the highways, even that would be helpful. What are driving conditions like? Because much of the province throws back the window, the curtains, and says, what are you talking about? It's a beautiful day out there. Not everywhere in the province. And again, we appreciate you keeping us up to date on what those weather conditions look like in your neck of the woods. We got a lot of different things to talk about today. More memories of Pope Francis. A couple of Saskatchewan people who met the Pope, their memories. That's coming up at 10:30 this morning. Federal election under a week away. We're opening up the phone lines this morning after 9. What are you most worried about? I've got a list of things. I'll give you my top three. How about that? That'll be coming up just after 9, but I'm curious to hear what it would be for you. Also, we've got a bully expert on the show by understanding adolescent bullies. Does it give Canada some insight as the best way to work with Donald Trump? I've got an expert who says it does. At a time when we're speaking about freedom of speech so often, often it pertains to online content, social media, it's actually alarming to me the number of books that are being banned, whether it be at the education level, even by certain levels of government. It's getting carried away. To Kill a Mockingbird, to even newer classics like Harry Potter. I've got an expert who teaches a university class on this. I want to hear your thoughts, too, on book banning. Oh, and I'm happy to feature the importance of volunteer firefighters at noon today. A provincial leader and trainer joining me in studio from the Saskatchewan Volunteer Firefighters Association. All right, let's get into today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the Big Talker.
Well, gosh, we've got a lot of storylines playing out in Canada right now. Federal election, of course, front and center. The trade war with the United States, which is not just unique to Canada. It's a worldwide thing. When it comes to that, Canada brings a lot to the table, but maybe we haven't done enough to protect our own interests. I've read a number of articles written by our first guest this morning, National Post editor-at-large Diane Francis. Each one intriguing, writing about leaning into the opportunity of a union with the United States, writing about Canada bringing this on ourselves and the Liberals under Justin Trudeau, setting our country adrift. In fact, almost in the category of fortune teller, Diane Francis wrote a book a decade ago called The Merger of the Century, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. I'm super excited to have Diane Francis, a well-known Canadian journalist, author, and editor at large for the National Post, joining us this morning. Diane, thanks so much for taking the call.
Happy to be here.
So what are your thoughts on the position Canada's in today in terms of trade, Diane?
Well, we're not in a great position. We've had a decade of absolute governmental incompetence by Trudeau. And then when the going got tough, Mr. Trump came in and started talking tariffs. He wimped out on us and just quit and left us in the lurch. That's not what a CEO should do at a company, and that's certainly not what a leader of a country should do either. So here we are left with his appointed successor, Mark Carney, acting as prime minister, who was part of the accomplices that helped him, destroy a lot of what Canada's economy was all about, and to neglect resource development, to drive us into the ditch in terms of debt, and, just generally weaken the country. So that's where we are right now. We're not in a good position.
What do you think? I mean, we're now under a week away from our federal election. Regardless of who wins, we can't reverse the clock. We are where we are right now, as you've laid out. What does a post-election strategy look like if you were advising in terms of trade, in terms of relationship with the states?
Well, I think that Canada should get a leader who understands business, and there's only one party that does, the Tory Party, in my position, in my opinion. But Carney's a banker; he doesn't understand business. However, whoever wins the election, has got to pull together a team of advisors, not politicians, maybe some premiers, but business people who really understand what's going on, because Trudeau never did, and Carney doesn't. So, you know, if we don't get a pro-business party like the Tories, Pierre Poilievre, then we've got to pull together a team behind the next prime minister who gets it. Now, what's interesting for me is that there was a lot of, as you said before, it's obvious to me Canada set itself up to have just exactly this happening because of the weakness economically and the fact we don't have a military and we freeload off the U.S. I mean, this was predictable. However, you know, you've got a situation where there's all this hand-wringing and, oh, isn't it terrible? And, you know, all the emotional stuff. It's ridiculous. It's about business, about making a deal. By contrast, you know, Trump slapped tariffs on Japan and South Korea, who are very dependent also on the United States for trading income, and good allies, you know, allies that are good, just like Canada. They didn't get emotional. They put together teams and came up with negotiating points. And they've been in there digging away, trying to find out with Trump what will satisfy, you know, what he wants to have happen. So they've come up with projects and deals and that sort of thing. By contrast, Trudeau went down to Mar-a-Lago after the tariffs were threatened, and he moaned like a baby and said, we'll go bankrupt, to which Trump said, well, maybe you should just become the 51st state. Mm. I mean, you know, that's not leadership. So we need a business savvy team at the top to sit down and talk with those guys and work out a deal, just like the Japanese and the South Koreans are doing right now, not emotionally. Just get it done. It's a deal.
Diane Francis is my guest, Canadian journalist, author of numerous books, editor-at-large for the National Post. I think it was an article I read of yours, Diane, in the Financial Post, where you're talking about what Canada brings to the table when it comes to trade and what we're doing or what we're not doing in terms of protecting it. Can you give me an idea of what you were talking about?
Well, Canada's got, a lot of things to offer the United States. It's principally resources, but, you know, a very talented, educated population, and we're good at things like finance and technology and science and all those good things. You know, we're not a problem. I mean, we're not like Mexico, good heavens. I mean, Mexico is just a pain in the neck to the Americans, but Canada isn't. So, you know, we have that goodwill between us. There's a lot of link-ups and connections. We already are integrated economically through the free trade process, which is now going to be, you know, cast aside in favor of whatever tariffs he decides. But I think this is the time, paradoxically, to get close to them and say, look, let's do an economic union. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, let's not be at war over tariffs and start to dismantle everybody's business empires and supply lines, but let's do what the Europeans have done, and let's talk more intensively about a customs union, maybe a monetary union, but let's get closer in terms of integration. And Canada has also got to offer compensation for military protection.
You know, it's interesting to me. I smile as I think about a book that you wrote literally a decade ago called Merger of the Century, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. You look at it in today's light, and it makes sense. But has much changed, or maybe I should just say what has changed since when you wrote the book and the situation that you see today, Diane?
Things have gotten worse on the Canadian side since I wrote that book. Back in 2013 when it came out, I said that Canada was freeloading militarily off the United States, had no, you know, wasn't pulling its weight. The next thing I said was Canada was becoming too dependent economically and should be developing its resource industries, its own industrial sector and that sort of thing, and become a stronger country on its own and be able to, you know, go forward. And, you know, none of those things happened. Instead, we got an anti-business government in power for a decade who did nothing but hire management consultants to tell them what to do because they didn't know what to do, and they didn't do much. And so they declared war against the fossil fuel industry. They declared war against mining. And so all of those trump cards, excuse the pun, that Canada has, critical minerals. Saskatchewan is sitting on more uranium than Australia, for goodness sakes, and there's a lot of potash and oil. And Alberta is a Saudi Arabia. I mean, we should have been developing these industries and others in other parts of the country to a greater extent than we did, and we didn't. So we just stayed small and dependent and, you know, overtaxed and underdeveloped and with an incompetent government. You know, and it was inevitable. And I said in 2013, if Canada doesn't get its economic act, become stronger economically and militarily, the Americans will get fed up and they'll gobble us up. So then I said, okay, in the book, I said, here are some of the things. Canada should initiate some kind of a trading arrangement so that we're closer and that works for us. Not political union necessarily, but economic union. Of course, all that was ignored.
So, Diane, would that play into the situation with China as well? I mean, I can't help but think if there was some sort of an economic union between the two countries, that would only strengthen some of the challenges we have when it comes to China.
Are you saying we should join with the U.S. or what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm saying in relation to what you say in your book, that we need to lean into this relationship with the U.S. Would that make it? China is an issue for Canada. It's an issue for the States. I can't help but think instead of fighting between the two countries that share a border, could we not be better if we were a unified front?
Well, that's what I said in the book back then. And China was a problem. And now, of course, we know how much of a problem it's been. And many people in Washington regard Canada as a China proxy already. The Liberal Party has been very, very much meddled with by the Chinese situation. Carney has worrisome connections to China. Chrétien did. Trudeau did. You know, a lot of the Liberal Party. So this is something we have to, and this is something we have to expel from the political system, because joining with the Americans in an economic union will of course help us be able to do that. The other thing that I found very disappointing with Carney, the first thing he did instead of going to Washington to make a deal with the Americans, because there's a deal there to be made that won't be that harmful, I'm sure, but he goes running off to Paris and London, he says, to develop trade. Well, you know what? Trudeau signed in 2016 a trade deal with the European Union, and they haven't ratified it yet. Didn't anybody tell Carney? This is what I mean. He doesn't know what he's doing. And so you really need business smart people. Don't have to be slavishly pro-business, but business smart. And the other thing, too, regarding Carney, he is a more radical environmental guy than Trudeau was, if that's possible. So this is a real present danger to the future of Canada.
It's an interesting time right now with the election under a week away. Before I let you go, Diane Francis, just some thoughts on what we're seeing in this election campaign and what you expect to see Monday of next week.
You want my forecast?
I want just your thoughts. Sure, Diane.
Well, I think it's it's obviously a ball game. It's very close. I'm just worried that Canadians will once again fall for a guy who's handsome from the Liberal Party, who doesn't know anything about business or how to govern properly, who has no geopolitical influence. And that's what they'll do again. And I'm afraid that would weaken any attempts we might make to become more independent so that we can have a decent partnership with the Americans. I'm just worried they'll fall for the same thing.
Diane, always appreciate your thoughts on things, and we appreciate you joining the show this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Diane Francis, Canadian journalist, author, editor-at-large for the National Post, and speaking quite boastfully of the resources we have in Canada, not just resources out of the ground, both renewable and non-renewable, but talking about the people, the tech, the science. We are undervaluing that, and Canada, in many ways, in her writing, she talks about over-contributing in many ways and finding a way to work better with the United States as opposed to the fight that seems to be unfolding right now. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, thanks again to our first guest, Diane Francis, Canadian journalist, author, editor-at-large for the National Post. She got your blood going. I know it because I see it on the text line. You either loved what she had to say or maybe didn't. Coming up just after 9 o'clock, we are going to open up phone lines, 1-877-332-8255. Lots going on right now, but really the question I'm asking is, what is your biggest concern? What is your biggest concern? We got a week, not even a week left in the election campaign. We've got the whole trade war thing going on. There's lots to be concerned about. What is your biggest? I'm going to try and narrow it down to three for you after 9 o'clock if I can, and I'd love to hear what yours are as well. Phone lines, text lines open for you now here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.